So we're going to read from Romans 8, beginning with verse 8. Let's consider the Word of God. Romans 8 and verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself, I'm going to say here, Spirit's not an it. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 16, and we trust that the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts today, that this time for us would not be wasted, but that we would get something that will do us real good. Because we live in a fallen world, and a world that causes us to have struggles and doubts and all kinds of things. And so the apostle is being so careful here to give us good, solid reasons for assurance. And here is another one. In verse 15, our text for today. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Have you ever had a really bad dream that made you feel terrible and afraid because it seemed so real? Well, I had one of those a few months ago, and it was so utterly horrible. I just didn't know why I was having it, because I could not relate any of the things that happened in the dream to anything that I had been thinking about, reading, or hearing about, or anything that had been communicated to me. Why would I have a dream like that? Well, I remember that dream and waking up and hoping that it wasn't real. And I wasn't really sure when I woke up if it was real or not. I was still scared. And I went back to sleep and dreamed it again. Oh, it was terrible. It was so awful that I was sure that my life on earth was about to be over. What a heavy burden it was. What a feeling of hopelessness and despair. And I hope it never happens to you that way. And what a blessing to me that it was only a dream. And I couldn't figure out why in the world I would ever have such a dream, but then this text brought it to mind. So, verse 15, the words, the spirit of bondage and fear brought my horrible dream back to mind. I'd forgotten about it. Boy, I was glad to forget about it. I thank God that it's over and it's not real. But our text sets before us three things here I want to point out. Number one, what we thought was bad. What we thought was bad. If you notice there in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Some of us know what the spirit of bondage is. And our thoughts about that, that's really bad. What we thought was bad. And then secondly, what we know is good. Look there at verse 15. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. What we know is good. And then number three, what we cry from the heart. You see it there? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, what we thought was bad, if we look back on it, the spirit of bondage. Some of us here in this congregation know what the spirit of bondage is. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The spirit of bondage makes you fear. Reading the words carefully makes it evident that it's a fact that we have received the spirit of bondage. Because what does he say? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. You've had the spirit of bondage, but you've not received it again, thank God. We have not received the spirit of bondage a second time because once was enough. And we thought that it was very bad. The spirit of bondage is the same Holy Spirit who at other times is the spirit of adoption. The same spirit was the spirit of bondage who is the spirit of adoption. This is speaking of a stage of our coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For some people, the spirit of bondage that time is longer, and for others, it's shorter. Most people on this planet never suffer the spirit of bondage. Now, let's just be honest about that. Most of the people that live to adulthood on this planet never experience the spirit of bondage. They just go their blind, merry way to hell without this awful stage in their experience. Now, what is this experience? It is as Paul wrote back in chapter 7 and verse 9. He says there, "For I was alive without the law once." I was going on my happy, carefree way. I thought I was all right. I had not been enlightened by the Spirit to see the horror, the depth of my sin, my depravity, and my misery. But as Romans 9, 7 verse 9 goes on to say, "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." I was as good as a dead man. When the Spirit of God came to me and applied the law of God as a sharp lash to my sleeping conscience, I saw something of my filth and my hopelessness, and I realized that I was totally doomed and a sinner only awaiting the execution of the sentence. My former attitude of self-satisfaction and security was destroyed by the spirit of bondage. God, the consuming fire, the terrible reality of judgment and everlasting destruction loomed vividly and largely before my mind. Well, the law can't do this by itself. I can tell you that. Because I read the law many, many times and that never happened to me. Neither can circumstances, bad circumstances. You know, people think, well, you go through a terrible, devastating thing in your life and it's going to bring people to Jesus. No. Circumstances cannot do it any more than the law can do it. Now, you think about even the circumstance of war. Simply the fear and of death and the terror of war cannot do this, because if the fear and the terror of being in combat could do it, every man that survived combat would be a Christian. And believe me, you read the testimonies of men who have been in fierce combat. They knew what fear was. But that fear could not in itself produce a lasting change and a conversion to Christ. Now, the law has to be awesomely empowered by the immediate work of the Holy Spirit to become the spirit of bondage within us. Now, John Bunyan, I appreciate Brother Swanson pushing John Bunyan, because John Bunyan, studying him is very important. We have a lot of homeschool young people here. It's good. But we need to know John Bunyan. Pilgrim's Progress, Holy War, Grace Abounding, these books by Bunyan. This man had a real experience of God. Now, John Bunyan, in his book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, he tells us of his awful spirit of bondage, and for him it lasted 18 months. Now, during those 18 months, at times he wished he was dead because he was so afraid. The spirit of bondage caused him to fear. At other times he wished that he was an animal, like the dogs around him that didn't have souls. He even envied the lower creatures. Bunyan recalled the years of his life prior to the spirit of bondage. He was a happy, carefree guy, just going and having a good time with the guys. On Sundays, they would get out on the village green and they would play ball. They called it tip-tap until the spirit of bondage struck him. And he was up to bat one day. And as he got up to bat and they were about to throw what they called to him, the cat, to hit the cat. I think it was an animal bladder that they had kind of blown up and tied up where they could hit it like a ball. And they were fixing to throw it to Bunyan, and he was standing there. And as he stood there, they threw it and he didn't even see it. He was under such conviction of sin, it was like, you are doomed. Now, Jesus said in John 16 that the Holy Spirit comes to reprove of three things. To reprove of sin, to reprove of righteousness, and to reprove of judgment to come. Meaning, He convicts you about these things. He convicts you in such a convincing way regarding your sin. Convinces us that attaining righteousness is an impossibility for us. Have you ever been so convinced of sin that you realized you could not attain righteousness on your own? It was an impossibility. And judgment ahead, viewed as an absolute and unavoidable certainty. Judgment hanging over us. After those 18 months of horror, the spirit of bondage, and the spirit of bondage, Bunyan was relieved. How was he relieved? By coming to Christ and receiving the spirit of adoption. Now, not everyone who is saved goes through such an extended period of bondage as Bunyan did. But listen to this. Every believer is made to feel and to know something of his own hopelessness and helplessness. If you've never been there, you need to be there. No matter how we try to keep the commandments, no matter how we try to do better and amend our lives, we're brought to see our absolute failure. And we're made to see that we cannot save ourselves by our works. Oh, what a spirit of bondage and despair. And what is his first point? What we thought was bad. We thought it was bad at the time. But as we look back on it, it wasn't bad at all. Thank God for it. Because God, no matter if it was a day or 2 days or a few hours or however long you were under that awesome conviction of the Spirit of God, realizing your helplessness and your hopelessness before God, praise God for it. Because the spirit of bondage is followed by the spirit of adoption. We thought that the spirit of bondage was bad, but now we know that He's good since we have received Him as the spirit of adoption. You see that? Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. Hallelujah! Not again! I'm not going to go back there! I'm never going to do that again! I'm never going to have to suffer under going to a pulpit as a lost preacher Sunday by Sunday and trying to tell the people good things and just wishing I could somehow have it in my own heart. I'm not going to go back there. I'll never be back there. Because what does he say? He says in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Hallelujah, not again. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Here it is. Wow, what a relief we had when we were by the Spirit enabled to look upon Christ by faith and to rest on Him. We found that the Lord Jesus Christ has met all our needs concerning the putting away of our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He is all our righteousness by His perfect keeping of the law for us. For what does the Scripture say? For by the obedience of one, we are constituted as righteous. He Himself is our judge. So what do we have to fear about the coming judgment day? We are no longer terrorized by the judgment to come because He is also our loving advocate, our intercessor, who will ultimately declare us as His and as those totally vindicated by His person and by His almighty work. Praise God for the Spirit of adoption that has enabled us to flee to Christ, to flee from ourselves, to flee from our sin, and to flee from our own supposedly good law works, to rest instead upon Christ alone for our salvation. Thus we see that even the spirit of bondage that drove us away from ourselves and from the law is indeed an unspeakable mercy. The spirit of bondage, under which many of us once suffered in one form or another, is an unspeakable mercy from God. Well, we come to the last point. Finally, verse 15 reveals the cry of the heart. Look there, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. I think every time I see that now, I'll say hallelujah. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So does every child of God. Every child of God is enabled from the heart to say, Our Father, Our Father, Abba, Father. Now, we love Him because He first loved us. We cry with affection, Our Father. Literally, Abba, the Father, in the Greek text. Abba, the Father. But it's interesting because Abba is not a Greek word. And this really works itself into one of my hobby horses, you know. Abba, I love to see Hebrew words that the apostles just pick up out of the Old Testament Hebrew text and set right into the Greek, even though they're not Greek words. Because in the Old Testament, there are at least 9 words for the content of the singing worship of the Hebrew people. There are at least 9 words for the different kinds of psalms and songs that they sang to the Lord for His glory. And you know, the Lord did not pick up any one of those 9 Hebrew words and set it in the text in the New Testament. He said, no, I'm going to use a Greek word. He took the Greek word, psalmos, which is not a Hebrew Old Testament word at all. He took the Greek word, psalmos. The reason we call them psalms is because of our English translation. And, you know, it's called the Book of Psalms, not because that's the Old Testament term, but because that's what we call them now. Psalmos is a Greek term, and psalmos means a song of worship sung with instrumental accompaniment. So hear that, my Campbellite friends. Because they say, what an evil, what a wickedness to have a musical instrument. Well, why didn't God just pick up one of those 9 Hebrew words and set it in the Greek text and say, y'all can't sing with anything but just your little, all right, everybody ready? Okay, now, we don't do that. All right, well, this is a hobby horse of mine. Because he takes the word Abba. What is the word Abba? It's a Hebrew word. It's an affectionate, endearing term. Now, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Has that ever gripped you? Has that ever really gotten a hold of your heart? Let me ask you. Do you bow the knee and from the heart pray, Our Father, which art in heaven? Does it do anything to you to do that? Have you ever really felt it? Has it ever really come home to your heart? As Wesley said, he sensed his heart strangely warmed. Having the Heavenly Father as your Father, has that ever done anything to you? Oh, to be enabled by free and sovereign grace to cry from the heart, Abba, Father. I hope I'm not speaking to you as though I was an alien, some outer space creature or foreigner speaking in a language of which you know absolutely nothing. Can you honestly say, I know something of the spirit of bondage? You don't have to go through it for a month, even a whole week. But you know what it is to try to do right and realize you're a failure. And you're brought to see that you can only depend on Christ's perfect work of obedience and sacrifice for you. Well, I'm telling you this. I can say I know the awful spirit of bondage in my life. I was trying hard, yet I could not measure up. I was hopeless, but now I'm relieved and I'm refreshed by knowing Christ. I see Him as my only hope, as all my salvation, and I rest on Him alone because the Spirit of adoption has enabled me by making me a child of the Father and enabling me to say from the heart, Our Father, Abba, Father. Now, Kevin Swanson had a wonderful illustration. I don't know if anybody else caught on to it, but I couldn't forget it. He gave an illustration about a child and a father. The dad had taken his child for a Ferris wheel ride. And the little child got up on the Ferris wheel and the thing started to round. And the child said, Hey, Dad, look at me, look at me. And it's good. Because the Father is so good to us. It makes Him happy for us to be happy, to love Him, and even communicate with Him. As that child shouted to the Father from the Ferris wheel. I tell you this, unless you know, unless you have known something of the spirit of bondage, you know nothing of the spirit of adoption. Let us pray. Oh God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful gospel. We praise Thee that it is the gospel that brings us down to our knees. We thank Thee that it's the gospel that puts us in the dust of hopelessness and death. And it is the gospel that turns our eyes upon Jesus by the power of the Spirit to rest on Him alone. We praise Thee, and we pray that Thou wilt make Thy holy truth effectual to all our good, for Jesus' sake. Amen.